Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
You are listening to the Social Network Show. Welcome. I am your host, Dr. J. I'm an experimental psychologist who likes to think about all things networked. Normally, I am joined by Jim Nico, founder and CEO of Social Network Intermedia. And today, apparently, is no exception as he's sitting right here across from me.
Unfortunately, I'm the amateur in the group. Jane, will you continue so I don't have... Okay.
Well, now that I've noticed that, have you, my gentle listener, ever noticed that in your occupation, you are expected to do more and more in the same time for the same reward? Noticed? It's probably an ever-present lament. Well, unfortunately, parenting is the same subject to the same problem. In addition to everything else, now you have to be sure your kids don't spend all their time on shiny tech mobile devices. And today, you will be hearing from Mike Stelzner, creator of, among many other things, MyKidsAdventures.com, where busy parents get a break. All kinds of active, face-to-face, adventurous activities you can suddenly engage in with your children. That is at MyKidsAdventures.com. Mike Stelzner is much better known, however, as the founder of Social Media Examiner, the world's top social media magazine. He's also host of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. And books to his credit include Launch, How to Quickly Propel Your Business Beyond the Competition, and another one, Writing White Papers, How to Capture Readers and Keep Them Engaged. Mike, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate it. And I am pretty much enamored by the up-and-coming event in San Diego, especially, did I get this right? Are we talking an aircraft carrier for the parties?
Yeah. So Social Media Marketing World is taking place March 26th, 27th, and 28th in San Diego. And our opening night party is on the USS Midway Naval Aircraft Carrier. Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow, that's a great idea. And do you think there's going to be any sharks in the waters if anyone, like, maybe drinks a little bit too much?
There might be sharks on the ship, because you never know.
Right, the shark tank might. I got it. So, well, thanks again for coming on the show. And how can people find out? I know Google works, but, I mean, specifically, is there anything you want to say about people that can still sign up for the show now?
Yeah, sure. First of all, socialmediaworld14.com. We'll get you to everything that you want to discover about the show. But kind of just, you know, to say 2 seconds on the show, it's kind of the who's who in the world of social media marketing. So if you're in business of, you know, any kind and you want to figure out how to use social media to drive more traffic, generate more leads, sales, develop communities, any of those kinds of things, that's what's going to be going on. We've got 2,000 people from 35 countries and 9 simultaneous tracks going on at once, and just lots of great opportunity for people to discover a lot more about social media marketing.
How many have you done? This is 14, obviously, but how many have you done before this?
Well, actually, this is just our second year. So
okay, cool.
14 stands for 2014.
That's cool.
I was wondering if, well, by coincidence, did you start in 2001?
And he didn't start when he was 14 years old. We got that clear.
Or before there was such a thing as social media.
No, but still, though, I looked at the lineup that you have. Mm-hmm. It really is the creme de la creme of the social media experts out there, et cetera. So, I mean, that's got to be a joy to host people at this level, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I think one of the advantages of having a blog as big as ours is, you know, we had 7.5 million people read our content last year at Social Media Examiner, is that we get a chance to really develop great relationships with people that write for us, and a lot of those people become speakers. And on my own show, you know, I interview Chris Brogan and a lot of these other folks that you guys talk to, and it just allows us to kind of get them in front of our crowd and makes it easier for us to put on a conference of this magnitude for sure.
If there was someone out there that is like just an up-and-comer, like a real smart, original thinker in the social media space, is there still room to, or is there a way to get your attention or your company's attention in the writing sense?
Yeah, so here's how it works. We don't care who you are as long as your content is great. And people can go to our website, and actually, I'm going to look it up while we're talking. I think it's socialmediaexaminer.com/writers.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it. And anyone can apply to be a writer. We have super crazy high editorial standards because we publish like a real physical magazine. Two articles, original every day, and they're usually at least 1,000 words. And we have 7 editors that work on every single article. It goes through what we call a beautification process. But what we're always looking for is people to write on the how-to kind of stuff, because that's the stuff that we are known for. So if someone's doing something really creative and wants to share how they do it, we welcome it. It's not, you know, and it's a great opportunity to kind of get known by us. And, you know, other people often are asking, well, you know, I'm already known, but I would love the opportunity to speak. Well, that's when we say, you know, come to our conference and get to know us. It's this way in the real world, too, right? I mean, the only way to really get to know people is to get a chance to meet them face-to-face like you and I did in Vegas.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks to Chris Brogan for introducing us. And one other thing, too, I mean, I got to say, man, and there's the cute wars on the internet. As you know, some of the pet videos and like Boo and Jane just showed me a new one. I'll have to send it over to you. It's the cutest damn animal you've ever seen. But one of the things that I just think I just think is amazing is your it's through a magnifying glass. Your logo. Yeah, I love your logo. Where did that come from? Was it you? Was it somebody
else?
Yeah.
So the logo is a little guy that is in a safari hat and holding a magnifying glass. And my designer, it turns out it's his son. So I always wanted to have a little avatar because one of the things that I've noticed in the world of social media, and we've been around since 2009, nobody really had avatars. Twitter was the only one with their little bird. But everybody else, like LinkedIn and Facebook and everything, was just pretty ugly. So we decided to create a caricature kind of design. And we got a little flack from it because it looks a little cartoon character-esque, but you'll never forget it. And the good news is it really has helped our branding. And I think that's, you know, part of my background is I believe that you need to not only read well and sound good, but you need to have a good visual presence online. And those things, when they're all great combined, I think is stunning.
Well, he's obviously examining something.
Exactly. Yeah, and we had a little contest a few years ago, and our readers decided to come up with a name, and then we had people vote, and the name they came up with is Scout. And it makes a lot of sense, right? And normally he's in a jungle. It just so happens, because you're looking at it now, he's actually on the beach in San Diego.
Yeah, and it is absolutely unforgettable. I mean, in terms of being online and thinking of the visual, I mean, that little magnifying, it's the magnifying glass that got me. I liked him. Yeah. I liked him. Jane's got a friend, the blue genome. He's a little guy, too. I mean, there's some real cute little people, but, man, that magnifying glass just does it. I you know what I want, like, for Christmas? If last year you kind of skimped on me a little, and I'm not upset, but what I want is a giant picture of that because I want to, like, zero in. So you know what? I'll tell you what. We'll get the address over. This can be slow mail, snail mail, but I want to, you know, I'd say about 10 feet by 10 feet so we can put it here in the studio. Anyway, I better move on. Jane's giving me the look right now without the magnifying glass.
I'm just thinking that might be a little extra large. He's not 10 feet tall. I don't see Scout as being 10 feet tall.
You don't?
No.
All right. Well, it's
what
up to you.
Mike? What's come on. See, we got to figure this out.
Well, the carrier.
How tall do you think Scout is?
Oh, in real life? I have no idea.
Well, I forgot.
He's about an inch on my screen.
Is there a picture of Scout on the side of the aircraft carrier for the party?
No.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
Are the waiters going to be dressed as Scout?
No. We do have, one thing we did last year was we had a big kind of one of these picture motifs set up, and then we had all these props, and people were, you know, putting on all sorts of little hats and stuff, and we happened to have some safari hats and some magnifying glasses and stuff. So people could kind of dress up as him and take pictures.
All right, all right, all right. I
but
knew
it's not like it's not like we're a sports team and we're going to have this guy running around, you know.
Okay, but I got to ask you, 9 tracks. That yes. Do you have those organized in terms of like?
Yes. Yeah. So here's the deal. They're logically organized in 4 big overarching kind of buckets. One of them is social tactics. The other one is social strategy, and then community management, and then content marketing. But underneath each of these are different subsegments. Like under content marketing, we've got blogging, podcasting, and video marketing. So the way it works is, you know, there's 9 simultaneous sessions going on, but they kind of fall under the big tracks, and then people can decide which one they want to go to. But the reason there's so many is because there's just, you know, first of all, it's a big conference, and secondly, there's a lot of people that want to learn different things. Like we've got the corporate people coming from, you know, all the big corporations of the world, like, you know, all the biggest, and they want to hear from other corporate people. And then we've got the entrepreneurs coming, and they don't necessarily want to hear the corporate people, but they might want to learn how to do blogging, or they might want to learn how to do podcasting.
What was the turning point for your career? I mean, like, when you got into this, so you've been doing this in the Examiner, of course, and you're talking, that's a lot of listeners. So you have a lot of influence. Where did this begin for you? I mean, like, I guess
so. Wonderful question. Yeah. So basically, I've been doing this for 18 years. And before Social Media Examiner, I was known as the white paper guy. And, you know, I wrote a book on it. I trained out-of-work journalists how to write these persuasive documents that were used in sales to, you know, kind of like a cross between a brochure and an article. And I literally kind of heralded an entire industry. I was kind of the guy in that industry. And I learned along the way a lot. I learned how to do events. I learned how to sell education. So, for example, we would have online summits and teleseminars. And, of course, I had my books and my reports and all that stuff. So back in 2008-ish, I began to, you know, and by the way, along the way, you know, I became well-known in the marketing world because white papers were one of the most powerful forms of marketing, and I became well-known in the writer's world. So hopefully the dots are starting to connect. So I started noticing a lot of my marketing friends saying, oh my gosh, social media is the next big thing in 2008. So I started also noticing that the most popularly shared content was social media content on social media. So it was like stuff about how to use social media. So given my writing background and all the great relationships I had with writers, I decided to start a multi-author blog in October of 2009, and the thing literally took off like a rocket. And I think I was kind of really positioned in a unique way because of my business background, my writing background, and my experience and networking with a lot of the marketers. And it just exploded, and now we're the biggest in our space, and it's exciting.
That's fascinating. Let me get into a little bit more detail on that in the next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show. We are discussing things with Mike Stelzner, and he is the force behind the Social Media Examiner. And Mike, you were just telling us about how what a neat thing that was, how your different backgrounds came together, and you had this extensive background in writing and white papers, which you described as a combination of marketing and what, informational?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like a cross between a brochure and an article.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, here's a quick question then, okay, because we see this even at the ultra level of the creme de la creme of the social media experts, the most experienced and at least in the zone, if you will, the people that come to your expo in San Diego, et cetera. Here's one that it's that itch I can't quite scratch. I mean, there's people out there, we know that content is king, we get that. And most people will say that if you have great content, if you really push it in your blog, for example, that it will float to the top as the cream maybe goes to the top. But then there's every now and then there's somebody out there that says, you know, if you build it, if you got the best content, it won't go to the top. So can you address that? I mean, from your marketing, you've done it. You're there.
Yep. I will affirm the latter, that the best content does not necessarily go to the top, and it's this way with all things in all industries. For example, there are spectacular books that never make it to the best sellers list, and there are real lousy ones that do. And it really comes down to promotion and marketing. And it also comes down to audience. So, for example, if you have a massively big audience, the chances of your great content getting discovered and making it and rising to the top goes up exponentially. But if you have a really big audience and you produce just mediocre stuff, it's still going to rise to the top. Because in the end, it's not necessarily the content, it's the audience. So the magic formula is to have both. And, of course, you got to start somewhere, right? So you start with great content, but you have to have a way to get that content seen. And this is the exact struggle we face at mykidsadventures.com, because we have great content over there, the best stuff for parents who want to do fun activities with their kids, but it's not yet been discovered by enough people. So, you know, we have the same kind of content at Social Media Examiner, and it's crazy viral because we have a massive audience. So the secret sauce is a combination. You have to have the audience and the great content. If you have nothing but great content, well, then you're going to have to keep producing that great content and marketing and promoting that great content eventually to get an audience.
Okay, that, first of all, brilliant insight, really helps, because it feels so much more down to earth and genuine, and I really appreciate it. Plus, you're on both sides of the fence. You've got the massive viral on the one hand, and then the other you're trying to build. So to me, I mean, and this is just my thought, we believe that collaboration, synergy, and cross-promoting is the key in that arena. For example, we're starting a series with Harvard professor Maria Tatar soon, which I named about After Alice in Wonderland, et cetera, Report from the Rabbit Hole, and it's all for kids. The value of writing and reading and helping kids with that. So maybe we can, if you're open, we can work together to cross-promote what you're doing with kids.
Well, I would love an introduction. I mean, that's kind of how all this stuff works. Like when I started Social Media Examiner, I was a total unknown in that space with the exception of a couple friends that knew me from the prior space. So it's kind of like whenever you're starting something new, you got to leverage the relationships that you have. And what I did to build relationships in the early days was I went to trade shows like Blog World with the camera crew, and I interviewed people like Chris Brogan, for example. And now Chris and I would call each other friends. But that's kind of the way it works. You have to develop those kind of relationships with people. And the parenting space is massive, and we're trying to break into it. And it's a slow, methodical process. But yeah. Of course, we're always open to that kind of stuff.
Now, is that because the majority of your audience for Social Media Examiner are not parents? Because just off, you know,
it's not exactly the case. There's a huge chunk of them that are, because our audience is pretty much 25 to 45 years old, and you know that most of those people in that age bracket have kids. But the difference is that they're coming here for a different purpose. So it's not necessarily the audience, it's their interests. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. But I'm thinking just the intuitive
Sure.
Common sense idea would be, well, you've got this huge audience. All you need to do is put it on your website that gets umpteen billion hits or whatever. But obviously, it doesn't work that way.
It's not that simple, and we have definitely leveraged what we have to our advantage.
Why is that?
We've had 200,000 people visit My Kids Adventures, or 260,000, you know, in the last 7 months, but still. That'll only take you so far, because the best way to grow an audience is to have them come back over and over again. So the idea, like, for example, we publish and we email 235,000 people every day our content. That's like drip feeding and kind of making something valuable that will keep them coming back.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to come back to Social Media Examiner because they're marketers or business owners, but they're not necessarily going to come to My Kids Adventures unless they are parents that feel that they want to do fun things with their kids. And it is a different audience. Some of those people are homeschooling parents. Some of those people are people like me that are entrepreneurs that want to do fun things but have no energy left. Some are grandparents. So it's, you know, there is overlap, but right. In the end, it's not the same audience. It's a much bigger audience, and it's a much broader audience, and it requires a different approach. So it gave us a kickstart, but now we've got to figure out how to keep it going.
Okay, well, that's very helpful to hear. The reason, perhaps, that Jim mentioned our talks with Dr. Tatar is she's a professor of folklore and mythology and has talked about the development of empathy through reading fiction. And I've seen that come up in several places just recently, that it seems to be really gaining some traction, the idea that and, of course, our connection with that is through the cyberbullying, anti-bullying that work that we try to do, that people wonder, what is it? Why is there this tremendous lack of compassion or empathy among young people that they would actually try to gang up and try to get somebody to commit suicide, for example?
You know, that's crazy.
Obviously, there's a huge lack of empathy, and there's really a lot of thought now that it has a lot to do with the lack of stories, a lack of narrative. The Present Shock, that book that's fairly recent, it talks about the lack of narrative. And so just being able to put yourself in somebody else's place is something that young people are apparently not learning. So I think that the fact that you're encouraging people, giving them those tools to spend quality time with the kids, and they aren't long-term things. They're just, I noticed there's a big emphasis on snow lately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my philosophy is, you know, what we're trying to do is bring fun back to the family. That's kind of the easy way of saying it. And we know that parents are so, especially someone like me, you know, we're so on all the time because of our smartphones, that we often, you know, need to remember that there's things we can do that are retro, quote unquote, with our children, like taking them out into nature or going on a hike with them. You know, these are the kind of things. Or having even a family game show in your kitchen, you know, and go in the sound booth and it's the bathroom with the fan on, you know. Just kind of fun activities that are physical activities, you know, that are not electronic. And we're not anti-electronic, but I do believe that parents model behavior to their children. And if they're engrossed in their electronic devices instead of their children, then their children are going to be the same. So we're just trying to give parents an alternative fun thing. And we know that if they have fun with their children, it can open up lots of other things. For example, better relationships, kids explaining what's really going on in their life, and all that fun stuff. And we're targeting pretty much 5 to 12-year-old, you know, kids, you know, parents with that kind of age kid.
You mentioned the parenting being a huge chunk of a large market and so forth. What are the prime outlets or connections that you are working to develop?
Well, what we're trying to do is find people that want to contribute content to My Kids Adventures. And a lot of them, there's an amazing amount of creative people out there that are, you know, basically doing something else. And then on the side, they just do crazy things. Like maybe they're really creative with sticky notes and they make like structures out of them. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And maybe they just do fun, creative games with their kids. So we're just looking to network with anybody in the new media world, you know, whether they be a podcaster or whether they be a blogger, that is trying to also develop a platform, because one of the things that we do at Social Media Examiner is we kind of surround ourselves with people that have platforms, and we collaborate. And generally speaking, that's when everything gets great.
Well, that's addressing the content. What about the audience, that other half of the
equation? Oh, yeah, the audience? Yeah. Who are we trying? What was the question? Who are we trying to reach as an audience?
Where is it that you feel like if you can break in and get a much larger audience, what are the channels through which you can do that?
Well, we're starting a podcast called Parenting Adventures next month, and I believe that that's going to be a really good channel, because I know that there are millions of people that listen to podcasts that are interested in. You know, maybe learning about this. Here's the thing. We're kind of growing in a space where there is nobody who's leading it.
Oh, okay.
There is no leaders in this space. Pretty much there are people that do stuff for toddlers, and there are people that do stuff for teenagers. But in between toddler to teen, there's literally nothing, because that's when the kids are in school. So a lot of parents tend to basically, you know, let the schools and the after-school school programs and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and that kind of stuff, you know, basically handle the activities that their children do and soccer and all that stuff. But there really are very few resources for parents. As a matter of fact, there are literally none. And that's part of the reason why we're going after this marketplace, because this is a completely untapped space.
Okay, and Mike, first of all, thanks for the invitation to collaborate, too, that you put out there. We are the ones that we're also doing something in the space, in the sense that we have a series called the Elizabeth Englander series, and she wrote Bullying and Cyberbullying. But beyond bullying and cyberbullying, there's a piece here, which I know you know, but you touched on it, and Elizabeth Englander really develops it, and that is the part about modeling. In other words, we had one guest, and he's pretty famous in the world, Rafi Kavukian. Basically, he talks about shiny tech. So here, a cut to the chase, because we don't have a whole lot of time. Bottom line, let's say that kids at the age group you're trying to reach, and we're trying to reach also, and the parents that help them, basically, let's say that they see the parent or the authority figure constantly on a cell phone, texting, talking, whatever, Bluetooth, the shiny tech is what Rafi called it. But I think the bottom line is that we're, you and us, we're trying to bring kids back to the fireplace or the old campfire. Our work with Maria Tatar at Harvard is going to be just that. In other words, here's cutting to the chase.
Yeah, I would love to find out more. Maybe offline you can reach out to me and email me some details.
Yeah,
it's very intriguing.
Yeah, and here's the bottom line, just for anyone who's listening to this piece, is that we want to model that kids can listen to a show while their parents are not texting or on the phone, but listening to a show. You know, like the old fireside chat type thing.
What's great about listening is you can actually be doing things while you're listening.
Yeah. And also, until maybe you just want to listen. So that's kind of what we're developing with Professor Tatar, and we'll talk. Thanks, man.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mike.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, man. And good luck with the event, and I'm sure we'll be talking in between.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.